it's so good to be here, and it is a great honour for me, and a great pleasure too. I don't do much preaching away these days, but when Michael invited me some time ago, how could I refuse? And so to the reason why we're here today, to celebrate what I call her Mary of Magdala, because Magdala is the name of the place from which she came, to celebrate Mary of Magdala. Mary of Magdala, one of Jesus' disciples. No, she wasn't. Who are you? I'm the Bolney heckler. Bolney's had a heckler since 1327. Not many people know that. She wasn't a disciple. The Gospels never call her that. No, they don't. Much to their shame. Because if anyone deserves to be called a disciple of Jesus, she does. Mary of Magdala, a rich woman from the town of Magdala on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. She wasn't rich, she was a prostitute. Gregory the Great said so in a sermon in 594, homily 33, check it out. And Gregory was a pope, and not just any old pope, he was Gregory the Great, so it must be true. I'm afraid to tell you there were times when Gregory was Gregory the complete idiot. And homily 33 was one of them. In that sermon, he was confused, misogynist, and completely wrong. Mark, Matthew, and Luke all tell us she was in a group of women who followed Jesus from Galilee and who provided for them out of their own resources. In other words, these women were Jesus's patrons, women of independent means who could call upon their own income and reserves. That puts them firmly amongst the Jewish elite of Galilee. Jesus wasn't just followed by a bunch of smelly fishermen picking their teeth with fish bones. Mary of Magdala was rich, would have had her own estates, and she followed Jesus because, so Luke tells us, he'd healed her from 7 demons. She must have felt she was going to die at the mercy of a terrifying illness she could do nothing about. No one could help her. There were 7 demons attacking her, for God's sake. That's what people said. That's what Mary felt. Until one day a healer and teacher arrived from Nazareth, a small village up in the hills, and set her free. She followed him everywhere after that. How could she not? And she used her money to help feed him and support him and his smelly fishermen and all the others. She was not a prostitute. Gregory was wrong. Together with all the artists ever since who've clothed Mary in red to advertise her shame. Mary of Magdala, of all the disciples, perhaps the one closest to him, the one most devoted to him. Hardly. What about Peter, James, and John up the Mount of Transfiguration and all that? And Jesus took them with him inside Jairus' house when the man's daughter was dying. And he took them as his companions to share his prayer and distress in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mary wasn't there. Not for any of it. No, she wasn't. And what we make of that is up to us. But those three, Peter, James, and John, weren't there when it really mattered. And Mary was. All 4 Gospels say so. With great courage, you might almost say recklessness, she was there on Golgotha when they crucified him. And Peter, James, and John, they deserted him and fled. That's what the Gospels say. Mary was there with the other women disciples, as we must call them, Mr. Heckler. She was there. She and the other women saw it all. Not from a distance either. That's something the evangelists took from one of the Psalms. Indeed, they lifted almost every detail of their story of the crucifixion from the Psalms and from the prophet Isaiah. They did a brilliant job, and a most profound one too. But it meant the testimony of Mary and the other women who were there was ignored. Was it just too horrendous for anyone to hear? Or was it because they were women, and there were some in the early church who didn't trust women as witnesses? What do you think, Mr. Heckler? I think you can leave now, please. Go and do your heckling somewhere else, and don't come back to heckle the vicar. He's a very nice and good man. Mary of Magdala was there at the cross, and she saw Jesus buried too. And she was among the first, indeed according to John, she was the very first to tell of Jesus' resurrection. As I said, she was there when it really mattered. She found her way to the tomb in the dark, and at first all she found was a fearful void, an absence, even of death. She found nothing at all. And she thought what you and I would have thought, that someone had stolen the body. Yet sometimes if you hang around, you're rewarded with a presence. Sometimes, and I'm not always, in my bird watching, I've had the patience to wait for birds to appear when others have left and gone away. And then they have come. The bearded tits that suddenly flew in to clamber up the reeds at my local RSPB reserve near Chester, or that male hen harrier, one of the rarest and most beautiful of our birds of prey, which drew its line of pure grace past me as it flew over the marshes of the River Dee in the fading light of a winter's day. When Peter and the beloved disciple went home, Mary stayed, her courage more unyielding than theirs, her grief sharper, her devotion more profound. And Jesus came to set her free once more, this time from the despair and racking sense of loss that consumed her. She'd started out when it was still dark. Now the garden where she stood was full of light. The sun had risen, but not just that. The sun had risen. The sun with a capital S, S-O-N. She was surrounded by the light of God. And she might have echoed those words that Job said to his God when at last he'd appeared to him, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." Perhaps Mary did say that. Perhaps she did. For she met God in that garden. That is the truth of it. And she recognized his voice. This God spoke with a Galilean accent like hers. Her encounter changed everything. Other messiahs had been already, and others would follow, but their movements all collapsed once their leaders died or were killed. That wasn't the case with Jesus of Nazareth. His death marked a beginning, not an end. Golgotha turned out to be the place of an extraordinary revelation, showing not the power of the Roman state to quell dissent, but the nature and extent of the love of God. Mary stayed when others went home, and she was among the very first to discover that great truth. She found herself looking into the eyes of God, God spoke to her as he'd spoken to Moses all those years before on the top of Mount Sinai. He spoke to her face to face as one speaks to a friend. Mary of Magdala is why we are here nearly 2,000 years later. And I was only the other day reading the words of an Israeli-born Jewish scholar who's a professor in Berlin, who said that she does not fall short of really being the founder of Christianity. And if you have been maligned, if people have believed stories about you which are not true, like the story that Mary had once been a prostitute, then Mary is your special patron saint. And if you are not listened to, or if you or your story is ignored, as Mary's account of the crucifixion was ignored, and there's nothing about at all in the Acts of the Apostles, I would have expected 7 chapters. If you are not listened to, if you and your story is ignored, then Mary is your special patron saint. And if you are here because out of the corner of your eye you have seen the face of God in the face of Jesus of Nazareth, then Mary is your special patron saint. But hold on a moment, that's all of us. They did a good day's work when they dedicated this church at Bolney to Mary of Magdala.